Blog Talk Radio.
Sing it down low for him. Sing it down low for him.
Song of life we
sing it again. Songs of love and songs of joy. Woman to woman. Yeah. Okay, Kayla, sing it down low for him.
Joining us here on Woman to Woman tonight. Happy, happy, happy Wednesday to you all. Hope you guys are enjoying your evening, that you've enjoyed your day. And if you haven't, now's the time to begin, because again, you're with family. Thank you guys for being here. Amen.
Amen. Well, I'm excited about tonight. We're going to flip away and do something a little different. We could not let today pass by without acknowledging what today represents for both myself, and I'm sure I could speak for Minister LaDon, being Black American. Today was a very special day for us, but we're going to dive into it, because what we're finding, and I believe, normally, if it was the 4th of July, or if it was Labor Day, or if it was Memorial Day, or if it was any other day, you would see social media blowing up. Happy 4th, happy Labor Day, happy Memorial Day, happy, happy, happy. And what I noticed on today is that there was not a lot of acknowledgement of Juneteenth. There was little to no acknowledgement. And that didn't bother me or anything, but what I wanted to understand why. Why wasn't there any acknowledgement? Why, why you didn't see the fanfare that we normally see for other holidays? And so I thought, you know, I was speaking with my son, who is a teenager, and his friends, and many of them do not even know what Juneteenth is. They don't know what it represents. Where when we were growing up as kids, you had parades going, you had festivities going. It seemed like we might have been a little bit more aware of Black history. But tonight, we're going to take the time on our show, and we will be, getting responses from our studio audience at some point in the show. But what we're going to do is lay some groundwork. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, I love that you use that word acknowledgement. And I'm actually going to bring out some terminology around acknowledgement as we go on through the show, because I want people to understand why there's not the big fanfare around Juneteenth. And like Coach D was saying earlier, you know, when we have different holidays, even when we celebrate Cinco de Mayo, there's a lot, Cinco de Mayo, St. Patrick's Day, all of these different holidays that are celebrated not just by one culture, but by everybody, acknowledged by everybody. Cinco de Mayo, everybody uses that as an excuse to run off, you know, go most of the places you go to, they're even the restaurants are having Taco Tuesday, or, what's that one beer, Coronas, you know, different things like that that are going on. And those are not huge things, but it's acknowledgement and it's something that's going on. And when we acknowledge things and we have, we participate in certain holidays, we are, and we celebrate certain holidays, we're making sure that we're aware and other people are aware of what those holidays mean, not only what they mean to us and what they mean to everyone else. And so that's why during throughout the course of this show, you will hear me bring out different words of acknowledgement and why most people do not acknowledge Juneteenth, and why even most, like Coach D said, most African-American people are unaware of Juneteenth. Another thing that I want us to discuss as well is that when we, you know, most of us, when we were growing up, we never even heard of the terminology of Juneteenth. And so we have to begin to not only question our the history that has been given to us, become familiar and research the history that was given to us, and then do something with the history that has been given to us. I know when I was younger and I was going through school, everything was great. Everything was fine. My whole world was awesome. I used to get awards all the time in school. And the only time where I felt different, I remember when I started beginning to feel less than or different from, was when I started learning about slavery. And that was the beginning of African-American history for me. But we know that we didn't begin there. And so because of that, that's one of the reasons why we're doing this show, because we want people to understand we're so much more than slavery that went on. We're so much more than our past as far as slavery. We have such a rich culture and we have rich traditions that need to be embraced and need to be taught so that we don't forget who we are. And for our listening audience, you may be saying, well, you guys, you know, your audience is more than just African Americans, and we do understand that our audience is more than African Americans. But one of the things that we're doing right now is we are focusing on Juneteenth. Now, when people are focusing on different holidays, they don't try and include Juneteenth, or they don't, you know, if we're focusing on Cinco de Mayo, we don't talk about Black History Month and different things like that. We focus on Cinco de Mayo. So this is not to exclude anyone. We're hoping that all of our listening audience will learn something today. So we're not trying to exclude anyone. We're trying to include in everyone, and we're trying to educate not only everyone else, but we're being educated as well. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Well, gee, let's get started. We have a lot of information. And as Minister LaDon said, we thank you to all of our audience, and we're not excluding anybody, because I think we all could be educated no matter our culture or racial, whatever race we are, it doesn't matter. We could all be educated on tonight. So we're going to get started because we're saying Juneteenth, and some people might be saying, okay, I've heard of that before. You may not admit to it, but some of you might be saying, wow, I've heard of that before. I know it has something to do with Black people, but I really don't know what it's all about. So what we're going to do is start tonight's show by just sharing what it's about. Where did Juneteenth come from? What is it? Why is it? Why was it important to Black people? What does it mean to us? And so we're going to talk about what it is, what it was, or what it was, and then what I would like to do is bring it up to today, of what it is today. What is it in the 21st century? How has it changed us, if it has changed us, mind, body, and spirit? So, first of all, Juneteenth, also known as Juneteenth Independence Day or Freedom Day, is an American holiday that commemorates the June 19th, 1865 announcement of the abolition of slavery in the U.S. state of Texas, and more generally, the emancipation of enslaved African Americans throughout the former Confederate states. Now, that sounds good and all. I want to break it down a little further to us. First and foremost, understanding that we all know that it was slavery. We all know that President Lincoln did away with slavery. And we think, wow, that's a good thing. Now, I'm going to probably be coming from a standpoint, and some of it will be my opinion. Most of it is going to be facts as far as what I'm bringing to you, the information, but some of it's going to probably weigh heavily with my opinion. So we know that Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves. And so everybody thought, like, you know, that's a great thing, Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves. But what we don't know, and what a lot of people may not know, is that there was that was done in the, I think, in, I want to say 1860, 1861. And what a lot of people don't know is that there was the Confederate States, which was a group of states that decided they were going to break away from the United States of America Union, you know, basically this is how we're going to do things. They were going to break away from that, and they were going to form their own country, and they weren't going to do away with slaves. Slaves meant money. Slaves was business. And how dare Abraham make a political move, because he didn't free slaves just to free slaves. It was a political move. How dare he make this move? So this, it would start off with seven Confederate states that said, we're not going to do it. We're not going for it. We're going to become our own entity. And eventually that turned into 11 states, and Texas being one of the 11 states. I don't know if you all know that, you know, that those states were the Confederate states were, oh gosh, I knew I had those states, but I know Texas was one of the states, and there was a lot of, let me just put it like this, there was a lot of your southern states that that decided that they weren't going to do it. So in June 19, 1865, when the word came out that all Texas was kind of like the last state that was abiding by no slavery. So when it came out, quite naturally, everybody was excited, you know, because now it was like, okay, this thing is real. It's not just some places, but now it's hitting everywhere. And so it says the emancipation, and we're going to get into that, Minister LaDon. But I want to, that's what Juneteenth was about. It was the last bit of freeing of the slaves. But I want to talk about two words in reference to this. The first word is emancipation. Let's understand what emancipation means. Emancipation, simply put, is the process of giving people social or political freedom and rights. I'm going to read that again. Emancipation is the process of giving people social or political freedom and rights. The act of freeing a person from another person's control. That's emancipation. Follow me. I'm going somewhere with this. Liberation best defined is the act of setting someone free from imprisonment, slavery, or oppression. The act of setting someone free from imprisonment, slavery, or oppression. Coach D, where are you going with this? I would say that on June the 19th, 1865, we were liberated. The African American people were liberated because we were set free from imprisonment, slavery, or oppression, but I'm going to say we were set free from imprisonment and slavery. What we weren't done, what didn't happen is emancipation. Because though we were set free, we still didn't have social or political freedom and rights. So we were set free, but there was a lot of things we still couldn't do. There was a lot of things we had to fight for. Just the right to vote, the right to live, the right to earn equal wages, the right to get educated. All that stuff wasn't given to us. And so we were not emancipated. We were liberated. Yes, you set us free. Now what? Abraham Lincoln set us free. Now what? Where do I live? How do I eat? How do I survive once you set me free? Now, coming, I'm going to stop for a minute, Minister LaDon. I'm going to stop and let you, if you want to add to that.
Well, I'm going to let you continue on just for a second, because then I'm going to add to it in just a moment. But you're flowing and it's really good.
Okay. So when we think about that, and it's unfortunate that they is referred to as emancipation of enslaved African Americans, because we wasn't emancipated, but we were liberated. So again, how do we move? How do we flow? We're not given the same freedom and rights, because it's even said that during this time that there were a lot of, once we were set free, that the hanging of slaves increased, the killing of slaves increased. They're no longer slaves, but they were still being hung. They were still, being killed. They were still being in certain places they couldn't go. So were they really free is the question. And I want to bring out 9 points, and we're going to get back in, but I want to bring out 9 points about this Juneteenth day that we get excited about. And I think that if you celebrate the July the 4th and the Labor Days and the Memorial Days, you should be acknowledging and celebrating Juneteenth. You really should. If you could celebrate Cinco de Mayo, then you could celebrate Juneteenth. I mean, it should be something that we do celebrate, because it marks history for African-American people. It does mark history. Was it powerful? I don't know. That's an individual opinion, mm-hmm. I would say. In my personal opinion, I think it's a day that should be acknowledged. I understand what it's supposed to mean for us, but I don't know that it's done much for us. And I know somebody's probably like, I can't believe she's saying that, but I'm saying it. Okay, 9 facts. One of the facts you may not know is that, like I said, you may recall the Abraham Lincoln, quote, Emancipation Proclamation from elementary social study classes in the condensed version. Many learned that this executive order meant immediate freedom for slaves throughout the nation. However, since the country was in the midst of civil war, those states that had seceded from the Union did not adhere to the proclamation, and slaves in those states remained unfree. So that's the first fact. I mentioned that. Once President Abraham set slaves free, there were still 11 states that did not adhere to that. So there were still 11 states, and you could imagine the southern states, including Louisiana, they still had slaves. The second fact that you may or may not know is that though much of the language in the Emancipation Proclamation suggests otherwise, Lincoln's primary objective was not to give the lives of those in bondage. He wasn't really trying to free those in bondage. Rather, his intent was preserving the Union. So he was trying to preserve the Union. You think you got all these states back then? I think it was only 38. I don't know. I don't think we were at 52 at that point. So if you had other states that wasn't down with the slavery, the movement of slavery. So if all these states formed one union, and you had a lot of states that said, "Hey, we ain't with that. We don't think that that's a good idea, or we don't want to do this," then you're gonna have to start doing something different if you want to keep everybody in harmony. The problem was is that 11 of those states wasn't in harmony with the other 27 states. So they branched out. So Lincoln's reason for doing it wasn't what we thought. He loved us so much that he wanted to see us free. That's not the case. Number three, Lincoln and the Union Army used slavery as a political motive to justify strengthening the military endeavors against the Confederacy. So black soldiers was able to fight. We couldn't probably get a job, couldn't own land. A lot of things we couldn't do, but one thing they was okay with us doing, I hope I don't sound too hostile, but one thing they were okay with us doing was fighting. You know, yeah, go to the military. And I'm sure a lot of promises came with us going to the military. You go to the military, maybe you could get this. Maybe you could get that. Maybe you could get that acre and a mule if you go to the military and fight for your country. For the Union, when Lincoln passed the proclamation, though they faced discrimination and often performed menial roles because of presumed incompetence, they increased the Union Army in size. So because they added the now, quote, free slaves, they have more power. And whether we could read, whether we could write was irrelevant because it was easy to get behind a gun and shoot it. It was easy to put us on the front line to be the first ones to get shot. That was easy. You didn't have to take a whole lot of lessons. You didn't have to be intelligent to do that. Civil War ended in April of 1865. In June of that year, General Gordon Granger and his troops traveled to Galveston, Texas, to announce General Order Number 3. It stated, quote, "The people of Texas are informed that in accordance with the proclamation from the executive of the United States, all slaves are free." That's what we now know as June. Juneteenth. So now check this out. The war ended in April 1865. Our people were not made aware that they were free until June. So 2 months later, they still thinking they're slaves and they're still getting treated like slaves, and nobody didn't want to tell them because why? We don't want to get rid of the slaves. So 2 months later is when they found out that they were actually free. Fact number 5. Throughout the war, of course, Texas wasn't closely monitored as other battle states. For this reason, many slave owners went to Texas with their slaves. With its relatively neglectful Union presence, slavery continued there for much longer. After the Emancipation Proclamation went into effect, slaves in war-torn states often escaped behind Union lines or fought on its behalf. So, again, Texas wasn't being monitored, so Texas was continuing on utilizing the slaves. And it's funny, I was just speaking as we were studying, getting ready for tonight, I was sharing with Minister Ladon. My family is from Houston. So the Houston and surrounding areas is where my roots. And I can remember being a little girl coming, and I'm not going to, hopefully they don't tell too much of my age, but they just took fountains out of Texas sometime in the late 60s, if I'm correct, because I remember being a little girl and seeing the black and white fountains. So you could see where Texas kind of dragged along. They didn't want to come. They came dragging and screaming. They didn't want to line up. They didn't want to get in order with what was going on. They were kind of the last ones that wanted to do that. My mom, probably a couple of other states. So that was number 5. Fact number six, the slaves who got the news were happy to hear of their freedom on Juneteenth. There's a book out, Lone Star Path, Memory and History in Texas, by Felix Haywood, who was a former slave who gave a testimony about Juneteenth as part of a New Deal project. And his recollection of that was, "The end of the war, it come just like that, like you snap your fingers, hallelujah, broke out. Soldiers all of a sudden was everywhere, coming in bunches, crossing, walking, and riding. Everyone was a singing. We was all walking on golden clouds." Now, this is a quote. "We were all walking on golden clouds. Everybody went wild. We was free. Just like that, we was free." That was his testimony to this project. Fact number 7. Freedom did not come at the snap of a finger. For everyone in Texas, some people who should have been freed continue to work through the harvest season because their masters withheld this announcement to reap more wages out of their slaves. This left many former slaves treated as though they were still in bondage. I spoke that. You know, they were late hearing. They were still operating as slaves. In fact number eight, in the 1870s, a group of former slaves pooled together $800 through local churches to purchase 10 acres of land and create Emancipation Park to host future Juneteenth celebrations in modern-day Houston. Fact number nine, and the last fact, in 1890, Emancipation Day in Texas became a legal state holiday in recognition of Juneteenth. However, state offices do not completely close, as it is considered a partial staffing holiday. Everywhere, the holiday is also referred to as Emancipation Day, Freedom Day, and Black Independence Day. Many continue to celebrate Juneteenth 151 years later. Throughout the nation, people host, you know, parades, cookouts, celebrations. And again, I feel like we don't see it as much as we used to see it. Somewhere is dying. Somewhere the history is dying. Somewhere it's not being passed on. It's not being spoken about often enough. And our generations coming up and the generations to come, our kids will, by the time they come around, will they even know what it's about? Will they even know what, you know, the significance in this holiday? Do you know that here, right now, now and here, there's only 45 states that observe the holiday. And there's still Hawaii, Montana, New Hampshire, South Dakota, North Dakota still have not adopted Juneteenth as a state holiday. And I found that kind of funny that those particular states didn't adopt it as a state holiday, but those particular states were part of the original union that abolished slavery. They weren't states that were known for slavery. Mm. So I'm going to stop here for a moment before I go into any more facts, Minister LaDon.
I have so much to say. Well, you know, a couple of things that I want to point out as we go along in this history lesson, as we go along in this story. And again, I'm speaking from perception. I'm speaking from theory concepts. I'm not speaking from that I've studied and I'm a scholar of Black history. And so, again, I encourage everybody to learn more about this and make sure that you're not only when you learn, but that you teach as well. One of the things that I want to point out, I love how you talked about, you went through some of the history as far as being set free, because when African Americans came to this country, we have to remember that their mindset was of a free person. And so as they were indoctrinated into slavery and everything was ripped away from them, that like they had to be beat into understanding and whipped into understanding that they were not free people and free men and women. And so they were stripped of their culture. They were stripped of everything about them, strengths, weaknesses. They were made to be dependent upon their masters. And so we know that when we were brought here to this country, people thought as free men. And then we were indoctrinated into thinking that we weren't free people. And so the mindset changed to become that of a slave person. And then when they were set free, they had the slave mentality. So during this entire time, the mindset and the actuality never really met each other. Nothing matched each other. so to speak, because again, when we brought here, we thought we were free. They beat the free people and said, no, you're slaves. And their mindset was still, it had to become that of a slave, but then it had to become that of a free person. So one of the things that I want to say, which is so important why we teach our children, because our mindset is not supposed to match our actuality or what's really going on. And I think that's one of the reasons why we've come to this place where there's not a lot of movement going on, like Coach D said. There's not a lot that has happened, or it doesn't seem like there's a lot that's happened since this time of, you know, coming into being free people and really advancing. And so in order for the slaves to advance, there had to be people who were pushing the envelope, who continuously pushed the envelope, and not just, you know, free white men. It had to be enslaved black men and women as well. So I'm saying that to say we have to think beyond where we are now or what's actually going on around us now, because we are training our actuality to meet up with our mindset, not our mindset meet up with our actuality, if that makes sense to anybody who's listening. And so we are sort of still enslaved, meaning most of us won't go out and try and purchase a new house or change our credit scores, or you know, some of us think that we're supposed to be on public assistance and different things like that. We get into this place where we don't mind being taken care of. I know people who won't, like, it's hard for them to work because they're so used to being taken care of. And I'm speaking that because we have to begin to start freeing our minds so that we can start becoming free and liberated in our worlds and in our reality. So that was one of the first things that I wanted to bring out. And then, you know, earlier I kept saying, I mentioned that we were going to be talking about acknowledgement, because that's one of the biggest things we were talking about. We were discussing, why do people not acknowledge this holiday? Why did we not learn this? One of the reasons why people, when we think of the word acknowledge, and we think of the synonyms that go with acknowledge, that means that we have to admit, we have to accept, we have to concede, we have to confess, we have to own. And so for the society and our culture to own Juneteenth, that means we have to address what has happened. And once we address what has happened, it means that things are going to have to change. And most people fear change. And so that's one of the biggest reasons why people won't acknowledge, you know, let's keep it on a hush-hush, because then we have to start actively discussing what occurred, how long it's occurred, and what and its effect on today. And when I say we, I mean we as a nation. And that's not something that our nation is ready or willing to do. And if it was so, then we wouldn't have all of these different laws. Coach D talked about the Jim Crow laws that were put into place. And most people don't know, and I just learned this from my daughter who studies criminal justice, but most people don't know that even the police started as a hired group of individuals or a hired gang to make sure that blacks stayed in certain neighborhoods, stayed in certain areas, and weren't out doing certain, you know, different things that people didn't want them to do. And so when we look at that, this, when we look at how the laws came into place, we as a culture even have to begin to own, we have to own our ignorance. We have to own our unwillingness to learn, and we have to own our unwillingness to change things. And I'm not going to say it's our inability, because we are able to change things. But change begins with knowledge. Change begins first with, you know, knowledge, because you have to identify what the issue is. And so again, those are just some of the things that I wanted to bring out about all of the different scenarios or facts that Coach D presented. And the biggest thing is, you know, change. During that time where the slaves were set free, a lot of them wouldn't leave their masters because they had nowhere to go. Okay, we're set free, but now where are we going to go and how are we going to live? How are we going to make a living? And so you have a lot of people who stayed on the plantation. You have a lot of people who were afraid of freedom. And so do we even now today, do we understand that liberty of freedom? Do we understand the concept of freedom? Do we understand the accountability of freedom? Amen.
Amen. Ooh, you know, great, excellent point. Before we decided to do this show, didn't even think about doing this show, but I just ordered a book that I'm getting ready to read. And the reason I'm reading this good book because, and I would recommend, I'm going to give the name of the book and the author. This book, I read some of it, and I spoke with someone who recommended it. My mentor recommended it to me. Man, I tell you, talking about getting a chance to truly understand, because a lot of times, I don't know, I know I've been guilty of, and I'm sure others have been, and I could acknowledge it. I've been guilty of, like, what's wrong with us? You know, what's wrong with them? Why they, you know, and not making excuses, but we got to understand that the trauma that was taking place in the 16th century. We got to understand, as Minister Ladon was saying, we got to understand the physical, emotional, psychological, and spiritual abuse that was taking place upon our people. And we could get mad, we could get angry about, because we're still seeing it. Come on, we're still seeing it. You know, I just seen a documentary called 13th. I think it was called 13th. The same lady who, what's her name? I think, Eve. She's the same lady who did the When They See Us.
Ava.
And then she did a documentary. And so when I watch this documentary, we're seeing it. It's nothing. We're still seeing it. It's modern day, you know. And so we could get angry. We could go and protest. We could do all these things because generally what happens, something happens, we get angry, we protest, and then it dies down. Something happens, we get angry, we protest, and then it dies down. Nothing's going to ever get changed like that. It has to be consistent. But first of all, we got to understand what's happening because the anger part is coming because we don't understand. I don't understand why this is happening. I don't understand why they're doing this. I don't understand why we're responding like this. So we don't understand. And this book is called Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome. And it's by Dr. Joy DeGruy, DeGruy. Her name now is actually Leary. Her last name is Leary, but I think you're going to find it under Joy DeGruy, maybe -Leary. And again, it's called Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome. I have not read yet. I've heard a lot about it, so I'm really excited to get into it and begin to read it to see what they have to say. It sounds like it's going to be a really good read, so I'm going to read it, and I'll let you all know if you don't decide to go and get it for yourselves. That who knows, I may have to come back and give my take on the book. But the same thing that you were saying, Minister Ladon, is the same thing that she's saying, that it's not an easy fix. Was slavery really ever abolished for us? It was, you know, yes, in a physical sense we see it, but what about our mind? What about our emotions, our soul? You know, I would have to say that we're running around here soul sick. Our souls are sick, you know, and that's not just you can't heal a soul by just removing it from a situation. You could remove it from the situation, but you still got to deal with the root cause and the stuff that went on. You still have to deal with that. And like you said, most people don't want to think about it. I don't want to think about what happened. I don't want to think about, I didn't go through it, so I don't want to think about it. But really, you did go through it because it's a mindset, because If your great-great-great-great-great-grandpa was a slave and he had to witness all these things, the way he raised you, the way he brought up his kids is going to be reflective of his anger, reflective of his mentality. You know, he'll tell you, he was going to tell you probably that you couldn't do a lot of stuff. Why? Because that was his mentality. I'm a slave, and I know I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this. I'm most likely going to tell my kids just because I'm trying to save their life, boy, you better not learn how to read. You better not be smart. You know, you better not do this because I'm trying to save my kids' life from getting killed if they follow their dreams. You know, we see it. You know, the slaves, one of the things bringing up, and I'm just saying, when we know better, we do better. Not making excuses because we all come to the acknowledgement. But, for example, the man, the husband, the father, he was a breeder. So he was taken away from his family to go and breed. He may have to stay at a plantation all the way in a different state or down the road, you know, and come back and visit his wife maybe on a Sunday. But he was already geared to be taken away from the house to go out and breed, you know. Then not only was he taken away. I'm sorry?
I was saying that was perpetuated when we see, you know, people going on to public assistance and the father couldn't be in the home in order for the family to receive assistance.
Not to mention, why is a black woman so angry? Do you think we just got angry in 1960? Do you think we just got angry in 1980? One of the reasons we could be angry, not even knowing, is the simple fact that while we were being taken out of our homes to be raped, there was nothing that our man could do for us. He couldn't protect us. He couldn't, you know, he couldn't do nothing. He was totally helpless. So I'm sure she had to have a sense of pain of, I thought you were going to protect me, even though she knew the situation. It's something about our man protecting us, you know, and him as a man. That had to really take away or pull at his pride, his ego, his manhood to think, man, they taking my woman and raping her right in front of me. I mean, you get what I'm saying? There was a lot of psychodynamics that was going on there that never was addressed because it was unheard of until recent 21st century that black people would even go to a therapist, that black people would even go get counseling, you know. Everything for us was just pray. But we've never been able to sit down, you know. It was unheard of. You didn't talk about it. Things that was going on in the household that wasn't cool. Things, behavior that we picked up from our slave master, you know. The things that was going on in our household that wasn't cool, that we were, you know, you didn't talk about. You was told to hush up. What goes on in this house, stay in this house. You don't talk about it. So you're not going to talk about what was taking place, the things that weren't cool, that was causing great hurt, that was causing great pain. We weren't talking about it. So there's a lot in reference to this, and I tell you, we're tipping the iceberg because like we both, myself and Minister LaDon said, we are not even claiming to be experts on black history, but we're saying, hey, from what we do know, what we have seen, it's based on our perception of what we think about it. And I want to be able to, Minister LaDon, I know you have some more things to say, but I really would like to see, after you say some more things you want to say, just to see what our studio audience, you know, what their take is on this, what questions they may have, maybe comment, maybe they could add to this discussion. Maybe there's something
definitely.
They could add to it. But I think it's a great discussion. I'm glad you decided to do it. I'm praying that those that are listening in to tonight's show that you would be willing to share, you know, share with your children. Do your children know? See, I just took for granted. Do your children know what Juneteenth even means?
Mm-hmm.
And I got to be honest. I've heard it all my life. Juneteenth. I knew it had something to do with black people, but I didn't know the details of it. Nobody's never sat down and really, I don't think, really just poured out the details of it.
Yeah,
so that's
I myself, what were you saying?
No, go ahead, Mr. Ledon.
I was going to say, I only found out a few years ago what Juneteenth was. Like, I just heard about it a few years ago. I'll say probably about 5 years ago is when I first heard about Juneteenth, because I know exactly where I was. I was at that Alhattie Private Crystal Resort, and when I learned about Juneteenth, and I was like, what is that? When in the world is that? You know, and I'm saying that just to share that there's so much about ourselves that we don't know. And it goes back to, I love how you shared the book about post-traumatic slave syndrome, because most people will say, okay, I don't suffer from that. But you have to understand it's talking about a tradition. It's talking about a history or a new tradition or a new culture that has been passed down to our new generations that we have to break free of. We have to break the cycle of. One of the things that I will say, for those of you who do not think that you're affected by it, I want to say, if you don't have at least $3,000 in your savings and you don't have at least $2,500 cash or credit on hand, you are a victim of post-traumatic slave disorder. I also want to say that, you know, it begins. If you ever want to end somebody's world or take over somebody's world, the first thing that you do is you take over their mind, and that's how you change a world. You change a mind and you change a world. We see it all the time when you talk about the Nazis, when you talk about genocides in Rwanda and genocides in different places of the world, when you talk about just all of what has gone on in history, the first places that it begins is a thought in someone's mind. And that thought gets passed on to another mind. And things begin to change. People begin to do. People begin to take action. And people begin to change. And so in order for things to start changing, it's going to start with our minds. And the only way that we can begin to grow or expand, or your mind grow or expand, is to acquire more information. And not just bad information, not just information, period, but you have to get good information. You have to get some factual information, because I could just feed you a bunch of numbers, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That doesn't do anything for you. So it has to be good information that now gives you access, or now gives you the ability to see things and be able to do things, be able to change, be able to institute change and create concepts, create visions. And so in order to do that, we have to learn. And not only do we have to learn, because you don't want it to die with you, you have to teach those around you or share with those around you. We have so many different of our leaders where vision died with our leaders because it was not shared or it was not passed on. One thing that I will say that I've learned, and I only know this about my culture. I know it goes with every culture, but I'm talking about my culture because this is what I'm privy to, is that there's so many times where we embrace knowledge and keep it to ourselves. We don't want to share with the next person the knowledge, good knowledge, you know, how to open a business, how to be an expert in business. We keep it to ourselves, or we want to charge you, and then we die with that information. And then we wonder why our societies or our communities are not changing. And so, again, if you change your mindset and you get information in your mind, it's not just for you. It's for those around you as well. Amen?
Amen. Amen. So we're going to take a moment as we're kind of going towards the end. Man, this show went so quick, and we were concerned that we wouldn't have enough feedback, enough data, enough information, enough opinions to even get through the show. And here it is, we're already at the end of the show, and I still feel like we have so much more that we could speak on. If you're listening in on tonight's show and you're live in the studio audience and you have a comment or a question, please feel free to dial one of your dial pads, that'll let our team know that you have a comment or a question. This has really been a very informative show. I want to thank all those who have taken the time to either text or instant message me or text me, that they have really enjoyed the show, that is very informative. And we're just praying that shows like this and more shows that we do is bringing awareness to our listening audience. We know that we have people from all different walks of life, but how, you know, it would behoove us to be African-American women, African-American, black women, whatever you want to call black Americans, to be that and see a subject matter that affects us, that concerns us, and not speak on it. So, again, we want to just say to all of our audience, we thank you for the support. We thank you for listening in. We thank you for understanding that we're not eliminating, but we're bringing awareness to something. For those who may have gotten in on the late end, we are talking about on tonight, Juneteenth. We spoke about past. We spoke about the present. And the last thing that I think we could really touch on is the future. You know, we spoke about how Juneteenth was in the past, how it's affecting us in the present. And now let's talk about the future. What can we do to make sure that other generations don't miss out on understanding what Juneteenth was about, or what it was supposed to be about, or what was it supposed to accomplish? I think we should make sure that other generations, our kids' kids, and so on, are aware of this. You know, I mean, if we could celebrate Cinco de Mayo, and we could celebrate the 4th of July, and Memorial Day, and Labor Day, and all these other holidays that represent somebody's freedom, that represent somebody's accomplishments, then I think that this is worthy to be in that category. And then I think if we take what took place then and don't look at it as a negative, or look at it as, well, it didn't really mean nothing. You know, it didn't mean nothing. They did it, but it didn't mean nothing. We're still enslaved. See, that's where our mentality is. But when we take a look at it, see what it was, what it was supposed to be, what it is, and then maybe we could be the change. Maybe we could become the change agent so that it could be what it's supposed to be, you know. Now we understand that even though it was called the Emancipation Proclamation, we understand that we was never emancipated. We were liberated without being emancipated. So now that we understand that, how do we get emancipated? How do we begin to free our minds? How do we begin to, you know, take advantage of social and political, you know, freedom? Can we really do that? Can we come together collectively as a people and make some of these things happen? You know, when we say our vote counts, does our vote count? Is enough of us voting? Are we voting about real issues? You know, that could be the thing. Are we just lending a hand, just in love, in brotherly love? Are we really concerned? Are we really our brother's keeper? Are we really concerned about what's going on with our brothers and sisters? I mean, that it starts in the community. It starts at home and then into the community, then into the world, into the country. So are we, you know, are we being kind in that area? Are we holding back information? You know, are we giving our brothers and sisters information? As we learn something, are we teaching the next, each one teach one? Are we teaching the next person? You know, if I learn the way to come up, Am I passing that information down so that not only I'm coming up, but others are coming up as well? Do we see everybody that needs help? Do we always see that it's a hustle, that it's a game? When somebody says, hey, I really need help, are we shunning them, brushing them to the side because we see it as, oh, they just trying to use me? Are they, you know, is it that's a hustle? Are they a panhandler? Or can we allow our hearts to open up and really meet the need if we're able to do so. You know, those are all the things that's given each one of us something to think about. After this show is over tonight, we'll go on with our lives. But hopefully tonight provoked thought. What can I do different? How can I be a different? How can I be a change agent? You know, what can I do different that can make a difference in my actions, in my thoughts, in my behavior? Can I make a difference for the next person? Amen.
Amen. You know, there's a couple things that you hit on that is going in the direction that I wanted to share with our listening audience. There's a couple of, I'm going to go back to my Lean Six Sigma roots, and I'm going to share information because it's all about change. It's all about improvement and getting rid of waste and consistently improving. One of the things that you tapped on that you said that I want to speak on first is you talked about sharing information. Are they panhandling? Are they just, you know, looking for a hand up? One of the things that people do, especially when they want to get you hooked on something or they want to get you indoctrinated into their world, is they give away free information. They give information away free. So that you see the Jehovah Witnesses going out, knocking on your door. They give you their pamphlets. You see Mormons going knocking on doors. They give you those pamphlets. People give away free information and have you ask questions and learn more, and then you are hooked. It's even when you think about pimps and prostitutes in the world, you know, they come to you and they give you information. They make you feel good and then get you indoctrinated into their world. And so I'm saying that to say, stop always charging everybody for everything. If you want to change the world, give away free information. I'm not saying that you have to give away everything for free, but there's some things that you can just tell the next person so that they don't have to do every single step that you took.
Yeah.
Help. It's basically like sticking your hand out and helping the next person walk forward along with you. Don't cross the finish line by yourself. And then I want to share some, we talked about what do we do from this point forward. Well, one of the things that we have to do is we have to identify what the real problem is. And so we have these instances where you see people crying about injustice, about different things. And so once we identify that there's a problem and identify what the problem is, then and only then can you begin to change things, because it's not just Juneteenth, or it's not just the laws that are set against people of color. Because it's more than just black people, so I'm going to say people of color or, you know, lower class citizens. It's not just one particular thing. And so we have to encompass everything, because that takes you to the root so that you can begin to change. Because you can change a law, but there's so many other laws that, you know, make sure you're changing the right law, because we see that how they kept introducing new amendments to change some of the laws that were going on previously. Okay, well, now you can vote. First you're free, now you can vote, now you can do this. So those first thing we have to do is we have to identify what's really going on. And then once you identify that, you have to present that to who you are, to the people that you're trying to change or that you want and need their help, or who's going to be on this initiative for change with you. And then you have to plan for a change. What is the and what the change is that you want to have happen? You have to plan for it. So you put a real plan in place for the change. So if you're talking, say we're just talking about changing our financial freedom, you have to set a plan in order to change the way your finances are going now. And if you don't, you're going to just continue doing the same thing over and over again. It doesn't matter if you identify. You can't stop there. There's a process that you have to move on to. And then you have to have the resources or provide resources for change. And so you do need the resources. The resources might be that you, if we're talking about finances, you sit down with an accountant. Or you open a book, go to the library, open a book, read a book about money and handling money. But you have to have the resources. And now that you know how to handle money, you know, what other types of resources do you need? Do you need a bank account? Make sure you have the resources that are necessary for change. And then you have to communicate the plan and communicate with the people around you. And it has to be clear. It needs to be precise. It needs to be to where people can understand, catch the vision, and run with the vision. You have to monitor and manage resistance. And that's one of the keys, the biggest keys to change. You have to monitor and manage resistance. And I think that's where so many different change initiatives have failed in the past, is because once you come up to that resistance, and I'm going to make it plain, how many of us have said we're going to start working out? You started working out, but you didn't manage and monitor the resistance. So you get up, you start going to the gym, and maybe you did it three times, and then all of a sudden your body said, I'm not doing this. I'm done. I don't know what your mind is doing, but your body is not going along with it. You're not monitoring and managing that resistance. And again, when it comes to change, you are going to come across resistance. What resources do you have, or what plans do you have to deal with that resistance when your body is telling you, oh, I'm not going to go to the gym? Do you have a plan to say, okay, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, up, I'm out? You know, like, what are you going to do when you come across that resistance? And then you have to celebrate the successes. And so Juneteenth is one of the reasons why we have to implement that celebration. You know, because it is a success, and we are overlooking so many different successes that that has occurred. Like, most people don't even know about Black Wall Street. Some people don't even know that a Black Wall Street existed, and what happened during Black Wall Street. And so, you know, it tells you that we can manage our money and we can be successful. But celebrate these successes, and then we have to review, revise, and improve. And so when you put something into place and you see that it worked here, but it needs a little improvement or revising here, it sets the tone for consistent improvement. And that's one of the things that we haven't done throughout the generations, is review, revise, improve, review, revise, improve. And so again, as we talk about change, as we learn about change, we have to put change initiatives in place. We have to put plans for change in place. And so you have to create a sense of urgency around change so that people can see that it's necessary, and it's necessary now, and you build a guiding coalition. And I'm talking about what I'm sharing with you right now is John Cotter's change management model. So we create a sense of urgency that there needs to be a change, it needs to occur, and change is never overnight, so you always want to start as soon as possible. So for those of us who are procrastinators, change is not overnight. So you want to start as soon as possible, because you are going to keep coming up to these points where you stop and then start and then stop and then start. And that's okay. The whole thing is that you have to be consistent. But again, we create a sense of urgency. We build a guiding coalition. And that's that plan, those people that are in place. We put guidelines in place so that it can guide and steer the course of our change, so that we know when we're off kilter or we're off track for change. We have to form strategic vision. What does it look like? You have to know what it looks like, because if you don't know what it looks like, you can change to something else, and it has nothing to do with the real end result that you want. You have to have people that are helping you along the way. You have to, again, enable action by removing barriers, like removing that resistance. You generate short-term wins. We talked about celebrating. You have to sustain the change, And that's how you accelerate. That's how you keep moving forward, is you sustain it. People change one thing most of the time and then stop. You have to sustain and continuously institute change. And that is that takes us to our next big opportunity. And you just repeat that cycle over and over and over again. And guess what? You'll see a consistent improvement. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to have to bring some more, I think, some more shows like this. Like you said, Black Wall Street, that would be a great show, a great topic to do a show on, bringing that information. I believe, you know, very much like when Obama became president, see, him becoming president wasn't just about him becoming president. It changed the mindset of a lot of Black people because they, you know, a lot of times you hear people say, we can't do what we can't see. So him becoming president became the visual that a lot of our young men and women needed to see so that they could see that it is possible. That I could be whatever I put my mind to. And I don't know if you realize it or not, but since his presidency, not that I think he was the best president in the world, but what I'm saying, since his presidency, we're starting to see a lot more young Black men graduating from college, getting their degrees, becoming doctors, becoming judges, becoming attorneys. I mean, just so much that we're seeing a lot more of because he brought hope. He brought hope, you know, to Black Americans. So I think that when we start sharing information, the more information we share, the more it brings hope to people. Like you said, Black Wall Street, that brings hope to know, wow, we accomplished that. We were able to do that, and so that we could have that hope and we could begin to dream and we could begin to, you know, set goals and have visions and reach those dreams and visions. So with all that being said, I know we're 15 past the hour, so I want to respect time. I want to thank everyone that tuned in to this episode of Woman to Woman. We know that you could have been anywhere on a Wednesday night, but you chose to listen in, and we want to say thank you for your support. Tomorrow night, feel free to tune in to Processing the Pain with yours truly, Coach D, and I will be teaching a word on tomorrow, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Look forward to that. Know that you all are truly loved and appreciated. Until next week.
Thank you and good night.
Woman to woman.
Woman to woman. Songs of life we sing. Songs of love and songs of joy. Songs of love. Sing it again. Kayla, sing it down low for him.
Songs of love.